All the house says. Now say it like you mean it. I just want another sip of water. That's all right. Well, welcome to Palm Sunday. Amen. And as I was thinking about and praying about what to preach, I mean, I've preached 44 palm messages. I don't know what else there is to preach. But I began to look at Jesus himself as he got ready for this time, at this time. And what I want you to get a hold of here is that about halfway through Jesus' ministry, about a year and a half into it, is when he did the Sermon on the Mount, right? And thousands of people are there, and he begins to preach that. But just before he was arrested, a year and a half after that, he didn't preach to the crowds. He just gathered the 12. And he shared what's called the Olivet Discourse. Sermon on the Mount. This is the Olivet Discount. Discount. Yeah, it's going to be a rough sermon. Y'all need to pray for me. No, discourse. And Olivet meaning he talked to them on the Mount of Olives. And he's there with the 12. And mostly what he used was parables. Very simple, very short parables. And they're the kind that you can, you know, get a hold of and understand easily. And I want to look at three of those today because their purpose is to help us to know how to live, especially in these last days, but how to live in the intermediate time between his first and second coming. And I think we need this question answered quite well in these last days because, my God, you just watch the news and you know something's going on. Now, you know, and I don't want to get into all that, but our president, whether you like him or don't like his personality, he is literally, you may not even realize it yet, but he's literally changing the world order. Changing the world order and our role in it. And I'm like, what in the world does that mean for the last days? I mean, he's either giving us a break from the end, putting things together in a good way, or he's the Antichrist. I don't know which one it is. But he is large and in charge all over the world, and it's really interesting to watch. But how do we live in it? Because we Christians really don't need to concern ourselves what the devil's up to. We just need to be aware of what God's up to. Come on, and he's up to some stuff. So I want to look, and these are very brief. I'm not going to keep you long. Famous last preacher words. But three little parables, and these three parables are going to teach us how to live in the last days. Matthew 24 and verse 3. Starts this whole thing. We want to look at Matthew 24 and 25. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And for the next two chapters, you know, you've read it probably. There's this whole list, wars and rumors of wars. Earthquakes, signs in the heavens, and all this stuff. And it's kind of funny because every time any one of those signs show up, they're like, end of the world. Well, we've had earthquakes forever. We've had earthquakes before Jesus came. But so, you know, we get all wrapped up in the signs and everything, and those signs will be there. But it's not so much about reading the signs. Because all through Matthew 24 and 25, I think he says it six or seven times. You can go in there and count them. He says these words, no one knows the time. Jesus saying that, but the Father. He's saying, I don't even know. Dad didn't tell me. So who are we to think we're so spiritual that we can predict when Jesus is coming? Now, they're always careful to say, no, I don't know the exact day, but I know the month. What difference does it make when he comes for us? Some people believe in the rapture before, you know, all these different ideas about the rapture. I've told you this so many times. Don't worry about it. Just be ready. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm going on the first load. Whenever that is, I'm going. Y'all can stay here, pick a new pastor. I don't care. How many ready to go on the first load? Woo! Glory to God. Fill the bus up. Amen. We are going to go. Go together. Amen. Amen. We'll miss some of you. Amen. There'll be about 10 of you left. Just one of you pastor the church, and away we go. Here's the parable. First one. I got to get going on this. Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? That's a good question. Whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season. In other words, he left somebody over his household who would take care of his household. Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find him so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, as some pastors do, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Whoa. Point number one. We need to be expectantly watching. Number one, you need to keep on the watch. Stay on the alert. Always looking for Jesus. And those who don't, there are those who take care of business, watching over what the Lord has left, caring for what the Lord has put into their hands, doing business for the kingdom of heaven. And then there are those who have given up the watch and are not taking care of things because they think maybe he's not coming. I mean, it's been a while. When you read Paul and the epistles and so forth, Peter, they're all like, Jesus could come at any minute. And here it is 2,000 years later, and are we still waiting? I got 5 amens. Are we still waiting? Expectantly watching for the return of Jesus Christ. Oh, wow. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we are joined with him in his sufferings, then we will reign together with him in his triumph. But if we disregard him, then he will also disregard us. We need to be about the master's business and not preoccupied totally with our business. Come on. 1 Peter 4 and 7 from the Passion also. Since we are approaching the end of all things, be intentional, purposeful, self-controlled, so that you can be given to prayer. Wow. Hebrews 10:37. For soon and very soon, the one who is appearing will come without delay. Is anyone still expecting his coming? Yeah, yeah. Expectantly watching. Let's look at the second one. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom shall be likened to 10 virgins. Remember this one? Who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I don't even know you. Watch," say, "watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So on the first one, he tells us to watch. But this parable is a little different. This one assumes that in our watching, we might grow weary. So he says, in your watching, make sure you keep waiting. In other words, be patient in your watching. Don't get bored with it. Don't start assuming maybe he's not coming. Don't assume that if he hadn't come so far, it might be a long time before he comes. You need to keep watching, but patiently waiting. Waiting. Now let's get into this parable a little bit. Understand the way things were done back then. Quite often people, kids were matched up for husband and wife by the parents while they're still kids. This was the normal way of doing things. So when you were 6, 7 years old, you knew who your husband would be. Interesting. I don't know what the divorce rate like it is. Maybe parents ought to go back to that. I don't know. Maybe we'd have better luck at that. But they were put together, and everyone knew they were supposed to be together. And then at some point, as they got into their late teens and somewhere around there, the parents would actually come together and they would sign the documents, and now they were officially engaged. Okay? And then after being officially engaged for about a year, sometimes longer, then they would finally plan the wedding. Now, people have been looking forward to this for decades. I mean, they knew this was coming. This was a really big deal. When they would do weddings, they would last for a week. Yeah. Growing up the way I grew up, weddings were big deals. The party would last all day long and into the night. And they would complain that in the good old days, they would spend the whole weekend in a party. Well, go back even more, they would spend a whole week. And this wedding was a really big deal. And everyone would party and everyone would come. And listen, it all started with this. The bridegroom would tell his parents, "This is it. I'm moving out of the house to establish my own home. And the bridegroom then would come into the city of the bride, or the area of the bride, wherever she lived, and he would come in, and that was the announcement. That was the big deal that, okay, the bridegroom is here, the party's going to begin. Kind of like Jesus coming back for his bride. He's been away for a while, but he's coming for his bride. Woo, glory to God. But some of them I don't know what happened to five of them. They didn't keep oil in the lamps. And they waited and they waited and they waited and they waited until the lamps burned out. And then when the bridegroom came, they didn't have any. They had lamps, but no oil in the lamp. You can't join the party waving a dead lamp. Come on. But five did keep oil in the lamp. They purchased extra oil. They were ready for whenever he comes, I'll have enough oil. I planned ahead. This is part of the waiting process. What does it mean to have a lamp with no oil? It kind of means a Christian in name only. You heard of rhinos, Republicans, and name only? This is a sino. Christians in name only. They're sinos. Or kinos. I don't know, whatever you want to bring. But we've got a lot of people who claim the title and show up every once in a while. But are they really sold out? Are they really waiting on the Lord, or are they preoccupied with other things? Oh, come on, church. What are they really living for? I think sometimes we need to look at ourselves and say, am I still watching? Am I still waiting? Do I have oil in my lamp? It's one thing to have the name Christian. It's something else to have the power of the Holy Spirit operating in your life. That's the oil of the Spirit. It's the oil. You got to have oil to have light. And if you don't have light, you have not. You have darkness. Boy, this hit me again the other day. Light. How many know light is something? Right? Light has particles. You know, for centuries they couldn't figure out light. But now that they can look at it, light is something. Light has particles. You can look at light. You can break it down. What is darkness? Darkness is just the absence of light. Darkness is just light gone. Darkness is emptiness. Poor devil. And he said, if you're not living for Christ, you're going to wind up in the dark, weeping and gnashing of teeth. In the dark. Dark is the absence of light. Say, what is hell? Hell is not being able to see Jesus. Having no light, having no presence. Wow. Lord, open the door. I wonder what it'll be like the day after the rapture. Open the door. But it's not just about the rapture. It's about when you die. It's about the end of the world. Quit playing games and start living right, living for Him. We're talking eternity here compared to what you got going on the side. Come on. Eternity. We need to be prepared for eternity. Keep oil in your lamps. Don't walk around with an empty lamp. All right, last one, third one. Y'all proud of me? I'm doing good, right? You know how hard it is for a preacher to be brief? You know how hard that is? What you guys don't understand is I've preached 4,000 messages here. So as I'm preaching, all these messages keep coming back into my head. And I want to chase all these rabbits, and there's just more of them all the time. Matthew 25, verse 14. A little lengthy. Are you okay with the word? For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. Jesus did that. Who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. I mean, no, Jesus left. He said, I'm giving you power. Woo! And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. The Lord is going to use you according to the ability he made in you. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them. He got another 5. Likewise, the guy who 2 gained 2 more. He who received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. This was a common thing, by the way. They didn't have banks back then. You basically would bury your money a lot of times. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. He's going to settle accounts. So he who had received 5 came and brought 5 more, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5. Look, I've gained 5 more. Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful. So I love that phrase, well done. That was my first message I ever preached. Whew. And that's the first thing I'm going to hear, I hope, when I get to heaven. I hope he says, well done, you just barely made it. I hope that's not it. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Listen, when you get to heaven, there'll be things to do and things to be over. Wow. You're not just going to sit on a cloud playing a harp. It's a kingdom with a king. And we have places of authority and position in the kingdom forever. Whew. Come on, live right. Amen. What verse did I end up on? So the guy with 2, the guy with 1, he buried his. Okay, and then enter the joy of the Lord. Let's go on to verse 24. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you had not scattered. It's really weird. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look. What you have, you know, here's your talent. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Oh, God, I don't want Jesus calling me lazy. You knew that I reap where I hadn't sown and gather where I haven't scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest at least. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. Yeah. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, I just realized this isn't a very happy sermon. For some of us it is. But what I want you to get, I want you to understand this talent thing. A talent is not a coin. It's not an amount of money. A talent is a weight measurement. And what he's saying is that 5 talents is really equivalent today of about 60 pounds. Now, we don't know if it was gold or silver, what he was weighing there, but if it was gold in today's money, he was handing him $20 million. Listen, what he's handing you is precious. Wow. Now, if it was silver, I forgot, here it is. Uh, it, If it was just silver, it was $345,000. That's the five-talent guy. That's a lot of money no matter what. You know, he didn't just say, here's a few bucks, invest it. He's basically turning over just about everything probably and letting them manage it and take care of it. Now, throughout the years as I read this parable, the conclusion I always got to is that the only problem here is that guy with the one talent buried and he didn't invest it. Now, that's true. That's a point. But here's another point. This guy was rebuked because he really wanted to do other things than what the master asked him to do. Oh, y'all didn't get this. Y'all aren't hearing me. This guy wanted to do his thing. He didn't want to be bothered working the talent. He had other things to do in life and didn't have time to invest the master's money. I told you it's not a very happy message. The altars ought to be full after this. Are you hearing what I'm saying? How should we live in this world right now? You need to be about the master's business. I'm not saying you can't work a job. I'm not saying you don't do stuff and take vacations. I'm not saying that. But where's your focus? What are you building? What are you working on? What are you sending on ahead? Because a lot of the stuff we're doing for us are just going to get burned up. They'll be of no use. And he may call you an unfaithful, lazy servant. You basically have one job, and that is to invest the talents and gifts and abilities that God has given you to build the kingdom of heaven. That is your job on planet Earth. Come on, praise Him. See, you're supposed to clap because then people think you're innocent. Yeah, I'm there, bro. I'm there. Listen, I need to preach a message like this every once in a while. Every once in a while, I need to say, wake up. Wake up. The end is nearer than it's ever been. I know that's right. And we're living in an age where all these prophecies are being fulfilled. And the world is rapidly changing like never before. The world is connected like never before. This one world economy was really coming together. I'm not sure what Trump's doing to it, but it was coming together. I don't know what's going on. This is a very confusing time right now, trying to understand the prophecy of all this stuff. But that just tells me all the more that God's in charge. Something's going on. Something's going to rapidly change. Something's going to get twisted here. Something's going to happen. And a lot of us are going to be left doing our thing instead of what the Lord has called you to do. Oh, I don't know what the Lord wants. What, you have to be knocked off your horse? Read your Bible. It'll tell you exactly what to do, how to live, what to believe. You need to get into the scriptures. Can I get an amen? Wow. Wow. Romans 13:11 talks about this. To live like this is all the more urgent, for time is running out. And you know it is a strategic hour in human history. Oh, come on, Paul. It is time for us to wake up, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Boy, that scripture is more alive today than it's ever been. 1 Corinthians 3:8. Now, the one who plants and the one who waters are equally important and on the same team, but each will be rewarded for his own work. You're not saved by what you do. Your works won't get you to heaven. But I'm here to tell you something. You were saved for good works. You were saved to be productive. You were saved to be, you know, do your part in the kingdom of heaven. And we don't want to get to heaven and have no rewards. You don't want to live eternity in a shack. How many want to live in a mansion? Come on, church. Come on, church. Can I just leave you with this, please? And I think you know what I'm talking about. I think you know. Keep your lamp lit. Stay in prayer. Live in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Be aware all the time of the Holy Spirit. Listen, this is something you practice. So, oh, I tried it for 30 minutes. I couldn't. No, no. You just keep practicing the presence. That's Bible, folks. Practice the presence of the Lord. Stay in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Sing in the Spirit. Talk in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Be spiritual people. And that doesn't mean be weird. It just means have a memory. Have an understanding. A mindset. Who said that? Jesus, bless her, amen. Have a spiritual mindset. Quit focusing on making money. You can make money. God will bless you. But that's not your focus. We sang it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full. My God, this tore me up this morning. In his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Woo, praise God. Stand to your feet. I'm going to shut up. Whew. Somebody was teasing me about long-winded preachers this morning.